You're on your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and it's coming into the biggest day, or coming into the biggest period of the racing calendar. So, of course, John Letts has got plenty to say on this. I'm joined by him right now. He's Melbourne Cup champion. John, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going great, Jordan, and very exciting this year again as far as the big race is concerned. But the exciting part about it is too is tomorrow we've got the Caulfield Guineas, which is worth $2 million. We've got the Toorak Handicap, $1 million, and the Might and Power, named after the old champ, is $1 million in Melbourne. Sydney, of course, are racing for big money tomorrow. But the thing that worries me about this, Jordan, is, you know, we can talk about this big money and that, but how is it going to affect clubs?
Yeah, so obviously there's restrictions in place, and for a lot of racing, there hasn't been a lot of people turning up because they haven't been able to. Where do racers actually get the money from in the first place for these massive prizes?
Well, they get it from the betting turnover, but you take the Melbourne Cup and the carnivals up in Sydney and Brisbane to a lesser extent, a lot of their money do come from corporates that, you know, have big functions on the day, and the economy in those different states that's generated by the money from people coming in from overseas and interstate into Victoria and New South Wales and Queensland and to a lesser extent South Australia. I mean, some of that money is just phenomenal that's brought into the state, and a lot of the race clubs get a percentage of that. So, I don't know. I just wonder. It's all right to say the races are worth $2 and $3 million and $10 million and $5 million, but can we keep it up? See, New Zealand did it with their Magic Millions the first year they did it, and I think the first year they did it, they advertised, you know, $1 million race for 2-year-olds. And next year, I think they had to drop it to $500,000.
The magic half million.
Yeah, the magic half million. So, I mean, it's all right to put it there in front of people, but can you continue with it? That's the thing that I always look at. And I think, you know, you guys, I mean, you can keep it within a range that you're going to be able to afford it, even if you have 2 or 3 bad years. But why boot it up like this, and then all of a sudden you have to go backwards? But they mightn't have to. They're a lot smarter than me. But I just feel that, you know, this is, and when you look at it, Jordan, it's one trainer's going to take that money home, and it might be one owner. Mm. It could be a syndicate, but it's only one horse going to take it home, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, and you'd hope that the people involved with the racing and, you know, the trainers, the breeders and whatnot, they're doing it because they want to do it, they like to do it, not because there's a hope of $1 million or more at stakes for them.
Well, they do like the money.
Don't we all?
they do like money. Yeah, tell me this. SANFL, AFL, at the weekend, I thought, which I have read a lot of comments in the paper, very one-sided, wasn't it?
Yes. Glenelg didn't seem to show up for a while there.
No, it's just disappointing for the Bays. And also, but congratulations to Woodville West Torrens. They played well in the AFL. But I mean, the same, you know, with Melbourne and that. But both SANFL and AFL, I thought this year, the best teams won, of course. Mm. But I'd love it to have been a bit closer.
Yeah, well, then the AFL Grand Final as well. It was fairly close, and then Melbourne pulled the trigger.
Well, could you imagine what was going to happen after half time? I mean, you couldn't imagine that, could you? It was just like another team came out.
Yeah, it was incredible to watch. Obviously, not if you're a Western Bulldogs supporter, but from someone who just had no stake in the game, it was really incredible to watch. Just that turnaround from the Demons.
Yeah, it's been. But then our teams are winning and we're having a good time. And then all of a sudden we get another COVID outbreak. Someone breaks the rule again, and we can be back to where we started. We don't want these. If these people are going to come to South Australia, make sure you're inoculated. I read an interesting article in the paper this morning, only a small article, from a guy named Michael, and he said, if vaccinated people can still carry and spread the virus, how will that help to keep South Australia safe? Well, Michael, read between the lines. If you get the COVID virus and you're already vaccinated, you don't get it as bad. You don't finish up on a respirator. So there's your answer, Michael. So you want to read the fine print before you start getting frightened of having these... preventions, because we've all had them, And, I mean, I don't want to be in a room with Michael if he's not vaccinated.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've heard, I guess, anti-vax people saying, well, if I get the vaccine and then I get COVID-19 and then I'm asymptomatic, I have the virus and I can spread it without realizing it, isn't that putting more people at danger? It's like, well, if everyone who's able to get the vaccine has the vaccine, the chance of getting the virus is less, the chance of spreading the virus is less, and the chance of getting bad side effects from the virus is less. So it won't be an issue if everyone who's able to get vaccinated gets vaccinated.
Just get out and get it done. Just get out and get it done. It doesn't hurt. And because the big thing about it too is that you're thinking of other people in the community and don't be selfish just for yourself.
Exactly.
Because if you do get it, and I haven't known anyone that's got it, but I have spoke to people, and a friend of mine is going through it in Melbourne at the moment, and it's not very, very, very pleasant, I can tell you. I spoke to his wife yesterday, and it's not very pleasant at all. So, you know, get out there and do it. You might get the virus, but you won't get it as bad. Now, what about the Americans, eh? What about the Americans telling us how to go out and to protest anti-vaxxers and don't worry about getting your vaccine and, you know, the lockdown? The Americans are telling us what to do. All of a sudden, we've become their best friends. But you look at the statistics on this, Jordan. In New York, where all these, I heard one of the commentators say yesterday, said all the unemployed serial protesters are out there again today. New York, listen to these stats. 8 million have got the virus in New York at the moment. 55,000 deaths. So that's out of 8 million. Melbourne's got 7 million, 877 deaths. Now, and they're telling us, I'd say, get on your bike, get out of town. That's what I say to them. You know, I mean, telling us what to do, and they can't even handle their own case. And I'd say, get a job and stay inside and protect yourself. Now, also, Toby Green. This is an interesting one, isn't it? 3 to 6 weeks at the appeals tribunal. So, Toby, you're an umpire?
Yeah, well, if you're going to touch an umpire, you deserve to have the book thrown at you. And yes. He did a bit more than touch an umpire. I'm surprised. Well, he got 3 weeks in the first place, didn't he? I'm surprised that was as easy a let off as he got. But well, he shouldn't have pushed it because now it's come out worse for him.
Yeah. And it was a little bit silly what he did. And I mean, you as an umpire, he did divert from his line, wasn't he? He did divert the line to that umpire. So I mean, it was there, and it was there. And the thing about it, Jordan, I think, is with television, it's there for the world to see.
Mm. Especially the AFL. This camera's everywhere. Nothing gets missed.
Everywhere. And, of course, in the racing scene, Ben Mellum, you know, is tied up in the COVID scare in Victoria with some other jockeys over there. He got another 3 months yesterday from the VRC tribunal for lying about whatever he lied about. And he got another 3 months, so he's going to spend a fair bit of time out of racing. Vlad Djurić, this is a bit of a sad one because Vlad Djurić, and here in Australia, a lot of people know Vlad Djurić. He went to Singapore. He's been leading right over there for 4 years. And a friend of mine rang me yesterday and said he'll be out for 12 months. He had a nasty fall at the weekend. So Vlad's going to be out. But there's been a lot of falls in racing. You know, well, a lot that we don't hear about too, Jordan. And, you know, sometimes we say, oh, well, you know, you just watch horses run around and you don't see a fall or anything. And people say, well, that's racing. You just jump on a horse and run around the circle. But there's a lot more to it than that, isn't there?
Yeah, and falling off a horse, which is quite a tall creature, and you know, jockeys being smaller in stature, can do quite a lot of damage having a fall from that distance.
Well, it's about 8 or 10 to 1. The you know, like you've got a 1,000-pound horse, and you're a 100-pound jockey. It's about 8, 9, 10 to 1 against you. And if you fall up the front and there's 10 or 15 of them coming behind you and those horses can't see you, they don't get a chance. They don't get a chance to miss you. Now tell me this. Through the week we had an article in the paper about China. I just want to switch off of the racing in that a little bit for a moment. China's facing a power crisis and rolling outages as it sticks to its snubbing of Australian coal, with exports dropping to 1% on previous levels. And I say, hooray, because, I mean, what they did to us with the coal, they said, we're not going to buy it anymore. Now, they're dropping to 1% of previous levels. So they are actually, they're rationing electricity in some parts as the industry ramps up production. And so they have, so now we are going to actually, I think what we're doing is we're putting the price of coal up. So good on us. At least we're showing a bit of guts there anyway.
Well, they China kind of shot themselves in the foot.
They have. They shot themselves in the foot. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they, Jordan, and of course, 6 pages of football this morning on the trade period. I suppose you've sat up since about 1 o'clock reading all that, have you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm so interested in the trade period.
All right. Anyway, Jordan, but just one last quick one, and this is one I was not involved in it, but there was some, you know, with the RSPCA with the jumping racing in South Australia. Of course, you would have read about it through the week. And where people, and I spoke to a young lady the other day. She's actually a jumping, not enthusiast. She doesn't like the jumping, but she's an animal activist. And I was talking to her about, you know, the horses. And Jordan, when you look at the statistics, and they say they're going to rehome these horses and they're going to do all of these horses every year if they don't go to jumping. But one of the statements made on TV the other night I thought was just a crazy statement, because when they were reading out the news about, you know, the banning the jumping races at Oakbank, the newsreader said, what they're going to do, they're going to introduce a system where the horses that are too slow to run on the flat, now they're going to teach them to run faster. Now, if you're an umpire and you're slower, you're not going to be doing running faster, are you?
No, and it's like, you know, people are built different. Like, some people are built for sprinting, some people are built for long distance. And, you know, horses, if they've been trained for jumping, I can't imagine it's going to be an easy switch for them to go from something they've been doing their whole training life to suddenly have to sprint. I don't see that as viable.
That's true. And Jordan, you know, the thing is with those horses, and I'll just give the stats very quickly. There's 12,700 foals born every year in Australia. 12,700. Now, in 4 years, that's 50,000 horses. Now, where are we going to rehome them?
That's quite a lot of horses.
It's a lot. And I said to this young lady, I said, look, I can see where you're coming from. You've got a right to protest. I said, but the thing is, I said, what about the live sheep trade? I said, what have you done about that? I said, that's worse than what horses have to suffer. And I said, some of these horses that go into jumping, and they're talking about Oakbank with the jumping, of course, they get the opportunity to go into the equestrian field because people see that they can jump and people will actually try and buy those horses for jumping. And they have got a fantastic life after. Some of them travel the world just, you know, with the best of everything. And I just can't understand. I just said to it, look, the RSPCA, they do great work, but then they go take people to court and then you get your magistrates and your judges and they give them lenient sentences. You're not allowed to own a pet for 12 months and all of this rubbish and fine them $1,000. I wonder what those magistrates, when they go home, I wonder what the kids who've seen on TV what these offences are, I wonder what those magistrates tell their kids and their judges. Say, oh, well, I give him $1,000 fine and I told him not to have an animal for 12 months. I mean, that's nothing. Give them fines and give them jail, or, and don't ever let them have a pet again. That's my thought. Because I am an animal lover. I love them, and I just don't want to see any cruelty in the world. I know we're not going to stop it, but I think the sentences are just, well, ludicrous.
On your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, we're chatting with John Letts, my horse racing expert. And, John, we should get into the races, of course. Spring Carnival coming up.
Oh, Spring Carnival coming up. Some great horses too, Jordan, and there's going to be some wonderful names there. And I just hope that, you know, we have a great carnival. I think the BRC, the Victorian Racing Club, are trying to get a permit for about 11,000 at the Melbourne Cup. So hopefully they can have some people there. But anyway, we'll get over to Morphettville tomorrow and we'll see how we go there. And in race one, I like number one, Brother's Shadow, is about $4. Race two, number three, Slip Into This, is $3. Race three, number two, Thrill Cool, is about $5. Got home for us last time. This goes okay, this horse. Race four, number four, Cerebus, is about $6. Race five, number 10, Gaze Gree, is $4. Race six, number nine, Wild Imagination, is $3. Now, I'm going into tip Willie Clark, and he's got a couple of horses in this that are good odds. In race seven, I like numbers three and four at a Quinella, and their numbers are 13, numbers 3 and 4, and they are $13 and $8. So that, for a dollar, if you just want to have a dollar Quinella number 3 and 4 in race 7, that should pay okay if it gets up. Race 8, number 4, Pim's Party, is about $5. And in race 9, number 11, Hannaby is $4. We shoot over to Caulfield, and we don't know a lot about these at Caulfield, but the horse that raced Kavala is about a 10-1 chance. He's had one run for one win. There's a lot of unknowns in this race. There's 12 runners, 11 of them haven't raced. He might be a champion amongst them, but I like the one that's raced. Race 1, number 9. Race 2, I like number 5, Riddle Me That. This is about $14, Riddle Me That. This horse goes okay, and Daniel Stackhouse goes well for him. Race 3, number 7, Lombardo, only a $2 chance, picks itself. Race 4, number 3, Crystal Bound is $4. Race 5, number 8, Dosh, right down the bottom, is about a $9 chance. In the big one, look, Zaki is only $1.20. I mean, we can all tip Zaki. Zaki tipped himself. He's going to be one of the stars over the carnival. But if you want to just get yourself about $3 or $4 back and you want to have a dollar, Quinella, I would say take Zaki into Probabil. The numbers are 2 and 5. If you put a dollar on it, you get about $3 back. But you can't back Zaki as $1.20. Every dollar you put on, you win 20 cents. Race 7, number 3, La Mexicana, is about $4. Race 8, number 1, Animo, best horse in the race. Terrible barrier, but it's still only $3. I think Animo can win. Race 9, look, I'm going to give you a trifecta here. You can box them up for $3. And in this race, this is a terrific race. And these horses, if this trifecta gets up, it'll pay $100 or so. But in race 9, I like number 1, Tophane, to win, to beat number 3, Sierra Sue. She got home for us last time. She's 10-1 chance. And number 4, here's your favourite horse in this one, Jordan, Elephant.
and
Rhinoceros won the other day.
Oh, that's good.
I guess we're getting like the African Zoo. Anyway, race 9, 1, 3 and 4. Just throw them into a trifecta because it'll pay good if it gets up. And race 10, number 5, a horse I do like a little bit going into the Melbourne Cup Carnival. Race 10, number 5, a horse called Delphi. He's only $4 chance, but I think he'll be one of the major players over this carnival in the Melbourne Cup. So that's how I see him on Saturday. Good luck. Gamble responsibly. And Jordan, I'll speak to you again next week.
No worries. Thanks for joining me, John.
Okay, Jordan. Have a good week.
You too. That was John Letts, my horse racing expert on your Classic It's Breakfast.